So we started talking about yesterday. We got through most of the halakhic part of the sugya. We saw different shitos regarding drinking on Purim. We saw everything ranging from Rabbi Ephraim, this notion how the story of the Gemara is really a rejection of the halakha, all the way to the Rambam, that you have to literally pass out. Guys, figure out who's who. You have to pass out in your state of drunkenness. And we kind of left that question hanging. Before we get back to the halakhic part, which we will at the end of today, I want to just take a little bit of a detour. Guys, right. I want to take a little bit of a detour in the world of Machshava to kind of just understand a little bit, just take a step back, what it is that this Gemara is really trying to say. Now, all of the, we'll call them, all the Sifrei Chassidus that I quoted here, a lot of these Sfarim, are all bothered by the same kasha. And it's a kasha that everyone's bothered by, being the Nigla, being the Mister, everyone's bothered by the same kasha, which is, how on earth is it mutter to get drunk on Purim? How is that a thing? How is it mutter to take something which, at its very essence, its very core, represents something which is completely antithetical to Jewish beliefs, and make that not only mutter, but make it the central focus of the day of Purim?
Wait,
yes. Well, we already saw this yesterday from the Beis Yosef, right? As one of the Beis Yosef quote yesterday from the Orchos Chaim, anyone remember?
That
was Ber Halacha. What did the Beis Yosef go from the Orchos Chaim? He said, "Shashichras Isser Gomer," right? That getting drunk is completely usher. It leads to Avodah Zarah and Arayos and Shechitas Damim. No one thinks that getting drunk is a Jewish ideal. It's not. So how did it become the central feature of the day of Purim? That's the kasha that everyone's bothered by. Now, a lot of the Sfarim that we call here on page 91, we have the Oved Yisrael. The Oved Yisrael was the After of. The After of basically points out this notion that the whole theme of the day of Purim is to kind of transcend what we can see in front of us and to take where we are to a different realm. And he points out that part of the theme of an Ahafahu, more specifically the theme of Arur Haman Baruch Mordechai, are kind of meshing and blending those two things together. He says when you take a Rasha and a Tzaddik and you kind of overlap and you kind of fuse the two together, so you kind of lose out on the Rishus, on the wicked part of that. He says that when a person drinks, when a person gets drunk, he kind of blurs the distinctions that exist between a Rush and a Tzaddik. Again, we're not going to use Tzaddik because the Hebrew is rather difficult. It's Chassidus, so if you're not familiar with Sifrei Chassidus, you're not going to really understand a lot of things that are written here. But essentially, his point is that, and he says this, by the way, speaks to another point which we're going to talk about at the end, about Legabe Halakha, in terms of the notion of cross-dressing on Purim, of a man dressing up like a woman, and vice versa. That notion, again, we'll talk about that in the halakhic aspect in a few minutes, but that notion represents the fact that you are taking something and you're reversing it, you're changing it, you're making it different. And he says that's part of the theme of what Purim represents. If you look at the bottom of page 92, there are a number of Sfasemes that I quoted here. So the first Sfasemes, he talks about how salvation on Purim is something which was l'doro sola. It's something which lasts for all generations, just as the Zera to wipe out the Jews, so too the Yeshua, the salvation that happened as a result, was also something which lasted for all generations. And he points out that this is considered to be a form of a yantif. And he says that the reason why we drink on Purim, according to the Sfasemes, is to show that the yontif that we're celebrating is not because of our own merit, but rather, he says, it's something fundamental in nature that we were spared from the koach hamah. And he says that because of our chataim, there was no reason why we should have lived, why we should have survived, but it was only because our Kadosh Baruch Hu set it up in such a way that he had pity on us. That's the reason why we ultimately survived. And he says that we know the famous part that goes to the Zohar, that Purim is Yom Kippurim, right? That Purim is even holier than Yom Kippur is, because he says that on Yom Kippur, he says that what you do on Purim, he says, Yom Kippur is not such a chiddush, right? And for a person to become holy and spiritual on a day where you don't engage in the physical world is not such a chiddush. But to become holy and spiritual on a day where all you do is engage in the physical world is a much bigger chiddush. That's the, as Sfasemes explains this idea, that you can actually elevate yourself to the point where even greater madriga than Yom Kippur, because you're engaging in the physical world, and yet at the same time, you're showing that you have restraint and you have the ability to live within the physical world as well. Okay. If you flip to page 93 for a second, So also the Sfat, another Sfat, the short Sfat Semis in the middle. So he also talks about again the notion of Chayiv and Ishlu Sumei, and he discusses this notion that Amalek, the Koach of Amalek, permeates all these different levels, all these different madrigos. But he says that except for the holiest level, the 50th level of Kiddusha, where Amalek is not found. And he says that you never have a situation, let's say for example, every person has their own approach in terms of Avodas Hashem. No one person has the same approach as anybody else in the way that they approach Kiddusha. He says that this notion represents the fact that when you drink, you kind of blur that concept, that every person has their own mahala, has their own approach as to how to grow and how to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says that when you do that, you find the ikar, the root, the source of Torah, and you are able to connect more effectively to that. Okay, so that was just a little bit of the maksha. Maybe we'll say one last point. You go to page 95, we'll skip over to page 95. The Ksav Sofer, this is the final tshuva in the Ksav Sofer, the son of the Chasam Sofer. The Ksav Sofer discusses a topic that we're not really discussing now, but it's a very important topic for a different time, which is the topic of Mishloach Manos. There's a famous machlokes between the Tshuva Sadeshen and the Manos Halivi as to what the nature of the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos is all about. According to the Tshuva Sadeshen, Mishloach Manos is a very technical mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, it's a kiyum of suda. I have to make sure I give the person who I'm giving Mishloach Manos to, I have to make sure that the food that I give him, the type of food that I give him, will help him fulfill his Chiyuv Suda. Whereas the Manos Halevi, a parent from Megillas Esther, writes, no. Right, Manos Halevi was written by Rav Shlomo Alkavitz, so it's fine. Rav Shlomo Alkavitz wrote the Manos Halevi. And he writes, no. He says, the pshat behind Mishloach Manos is to promote a sense of camaraderie, of Ava and Achva and Reyos between people. There are many, 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 many nafkaminas between these two approaches, and the most busy nafkamina is that they're not even that there are no nafkaminas, because the Manos Halevi, as many point out, is not a halacha sefer; it's a pirush on Megillas Esther, and therefore some question whether that sheet has validity in halacha. But that's besides the point for right now. Anyway, the Ksav Sofer discusses in the context of the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, and he's discussing why it is that we have this particular mitzvah on Purim. Every single chag, every yontif, has a din of simcha. There's a din of simchas yontif. How does simchas yontif express itself? So we know the Gemara at the end of Pesachim, right, that you have to have basar v'yayin. And for the women, they get clothing and jewelry, and the children get candy, right? There are ways to express simchas yontif. So why is it then that Purim has this additional level, this additional aspect, on top of the regular simcha, there's also a notion of Mishloach Manos. So the Ksav Sofer has a beautiful idea. He says, this is based on a notion that the Rambam quotes, he says that Purim is a day where we on Siachis, we relate to the rest of Klal Yisrael, and we know the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yontif that if my Simchas Yontif is simply to engage in eating and drinking, then that's not called Simchas Yontif, that's called Simchas Kriso. I'm simply filling my stomach, but I'm not actually getting to the heart of what the Yontif is all about. The whole point of the Yontif is to engage and to incorporate other people who don't have the same means as I do, to allow them to enjoy Yontif as well. That's why if you look at the Chumash, you find so often an emphasis on La Yason V'La Amana V'La Gera Shared With Rebecca, all these people who are less fortunate, who don't have the same means, the same family structure as we do, those are the people that need the most support over anybody else. That's what the Yontif is really all about. And we know, of course, without getting into too much detail right now, but the Gemara in Shabbos points out that Purim is the day of Kabbalah Satorah, right? The Gemara in Shabbos says on that Teiches, that Hadar Kibbul of Nerech HaShverosh, and although at Matan Torah, the Torah was forced upon us, as the Gemara says, that Nasa Alem Har Kigigis, that the Torah, that the Har Sinai was suspended over our heads, HaKadosh Baruch Hu threatened and forced us to accept the Torah, but on Purim, we willingly accepted the Torah. Hadar Kibbul of Nerech HaShverosh, we accepted it, Beratzo. That was what happened on Purim. So Ksav Sofer writes that when we have our Suda on Purim, he says, it's an expression of Torah. It's an expression that we value Torah. And in fact, there's a very strong basis for this idea as well, which is the Gemara says in Pesachim that the Gemara has a machlokas about various seven tovim, whether there's a din of kulo lachem, kulo lachem, chati lachem, chati lachem. Right, this machlokas, this notion that every yontif has to have a little bit of an aspect that's set aside for you to enjoy eating and drinking and to relax, but there's also an aspect of lachem, to daven, to learn, to do things that are also spiritual. However, the Gemara says when it comes to Shavuot, the Gemara says it's machlokas on yom tovim, whether you have to do half and half, or whether I could decide whether I want the whole day to be for me or the whole day to be for Hashem. That's the machlokas. But the Gemara says everyone agrees when it comes to Shavuos that you need to have kulo lachem. Everyone agrees, or at least you have to have partially lachem. When it comes to Shavuos, the Gemara says everybody agrees you have to set aside time for yourself to enjoy Shavuos. Why? What's the problem with that? The Gemara says because Yosha Nitna Bo Torah. Their Torah was given. So all the Foshim asked the obvious kasha. It's exactly the opposite. It makes no sense. If Shavuos is a day of Matan Torah, I would think I should spend the whole day learning. What am I doing? Wasting my time having a Suda on Shavuos for it. So the Foshim say no, because the Suda enhances the Kiyum of my Torah. There's Machlokas Rashi and the Ramban in the end of Parashas Mishpatim. If you find a Parashas Mishpatim by Matan Torah, the Pesukim say, Vayechazu Esa Elokim, Vayochelu Vayishu. That the people in Klal Yisrael looked at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Mishpatim, they looked at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they ate and they drink.
And they got
punished. Machlokas. Rashi says, Rashi says they were punished for looking at HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an inappropriate fashion and eating and drinking. It's not the right time to eat and drink when you're looking at Hashem. But the Ramah says, no, fakir. He says, when you're being makabel the Torah, you have to enhance, you have to be makshir the Torah in that way to show that you value the Torah by having the Sudas Mitzvah. That's the way that you go about doing that. Well, yes. Okay, well, sort of. Anyway, so he says, so just to point this out, so the Ksav Sofer says that we have a din of Suda, and we have a mitzvah of Mishloach Maros on Purim in order to enhance our acceptance of the Torah. Because again, Purim is a day where we re-accepted the Torah. Okay, now before we finish this segment, we have one last major thing to talk about. Okay, that was the Machshava aspect. Now, on page 96, there's a fascinating halakhic discussion regarding Purim. It's not about get drinking per se, but it's a function, it's a result of drinking on Purim. The Ramah writes in some copper study in the page, the Yishomrim, in music as Echad as Chadero, Mikawaksim as Purim, Hutter Milashal, the Ramah writes, and he references something that he writes in Choshen Mishpat as well, that some say that if a person damages or harms another person on Purim, and he does so because he's so overtaken with the joy and the simcha of the day of Purim, so then some say that he's putter from damage. So if I go around, I'm drunk on Purim, and I punch a kiva in the face, and I break his jaw, so according to the Ramah, I don't have to pay. I'm putter from paying. That's what the Ramah writes. Now, one second. Now, before we explain this, the Ramah further writes, in the next simit, another thing that, which on the surface seems to be usher, but we're matir for Purim. The Ramah writes, we know the famous minhag to dress up, to wear masks on Purim. And he says more than that, what partsufim are masks. The gever lovish simla sinshamishakli gever. People cross-dress. Cross-dressing is an isur d'oraisa, right? Parshas Kisetze, lo yilbash gever simla sisha, right? There's an isur d'oraisa for a man to dress like a woman and vice versa. Why is this all of a sudden done on Purim? In isur b'davar. It's not us or why. Me'achar she'in mechavnin elo l'simcha ba'alma. Because my intention here is not for the sake of cross-dressing. I'm doing it for the purpose of promoting simcha on Purim. So the Ramah says, because I'm trying to promote simcha on Purim, therefore, it's mutter for me to cross-dress on Purim. Something which is generally Isser D'oraisa, the Ramah says, is mutter legamre on Purim. And the Ramah takes it a step further. V'chein v'levishas kelayim d'rabana. And even wearing kelayim d'rabana is also mutter on Purim. So far, we have three things that are generally, well, two and a half. Okay, we're not going to get into the details of what kind of one actually means. Basically, kelayim d'oraisa means something which is spun and woven, and kelayim d'rabana is not spun and woven. Okay? Basically, so far we have two and a half at Tehran, right? Because damaging people is not clear if it's usher or not. Pashtunism probably is. We have three at Tehran on Purim. I can damage someone and be exempt from paying. I can cross-dress, and I can wear kelayim d'rabana. Right? Yep, you haven't finished it yet. At this point, that's what we said. But then the Ramah says, the Yishomer does or something. No, you can't do any of this stuff. However, Aval HaMinuk is Svar HaRishonim. So no, Minuk is like the first. Minuk is everything's with her. Everything's with her on Purim. V'chein b'nei adam hachotim zemizeh derech simcha ein ba zemishom lo sigzo. Let's say I go and I steal your iPhone, right? If I really steal your iPhone, I steal your iPhone for a few hours to give you like a heart attack, think you lost your iPhone, and then a few hours later I come back, oh, by the way, here's your iPhone. So normally we say you can't do that because there it's a form of lo sigzo. I was like, oh, I'm Purim, it's all out of simcha, so everything's mutter. There's no lo sigzo. Now, Purim, I can steal your iPhone. I can't mamish steal your iPhone, but I can steal your iPhone as a joke. I steal your iPhone, miterech simcha, that's not lo sigzo. Not only that, once again, the Ramah says, v'noaguka, that's the minhag, that's what people do. However, the Ramah says, uvilvad, shelo yasu davar shelo kehoger api tu be'ir. There's some sort of lie. There's some sort of line that you're not on a cross. What line is that? Rama says, if the thing that you're doing is so bad, that the Tshuvei Ha'ir, the we'll call them the council members of the city, if they give you musa and say, no, no, you really shouldn't be doing that, that's really, really bad, then you cross the line. So the Rambam gives us a very, very vague cutoff point as to what's okay and what's not. The Rambam says everything's liquor, everything's really okay, nothing's occurring, unless you cross this invisible line that's called the Tuvei Ha'ir. If the Tuvei Ha'ir don't like what you're doing, then you cross some sort of invisible line. Now, by the way, you should know, the Mishnah Berurah over here points out that Lemaisa, we're not necessarily knowing like this Rambam completely. He quotes that. He quotes this from the Shla, he quotes from other people that really, first of all, he says that we should be mevato this minug on Purim as well as by weddings, as we'll see coming up soon by weddings also. This practice sort of exists. And he says that it could be that if people are cross-dressing on Purim, so he says it's possible that you can't be moche, you can't protest. But then he quotes to the Shla says just stay away from all this stuff. He says just don't do this. He also writes, in Sifkat and Laman Al, the Shla also says, don't steal even as a joke. Right? Right? Right.
That's not a joke.
I don't know why that's funny. Okay, whatever. Either way, so the Mishnah Berurah points us to the fact that it's not so question that these things are just going to be straight up mutter. There may be some room to say that these things are usher at least as Amidas Chasidus, if not straight up. Now, the Magen Avraham, similar to what Asher was saying before, the Magen Avraham quotes the following machlokas. Okay, the Magen Avraham says that within, let's say we accept the Ramah's heter that I'm allowed to damage people on Purim and not have to pay. So there's a distinction between the type of damage that I inflict. So the Magen Avraham quotes the following. He quotes from the Knesset HaGedolah that it's only monetary damage that I'm punted from. But if I break a guy's jaw, if I punch him in the face, and now I cause bodily damage, so then I'm going to be chayav. However, the Aguda says no. He says, but the Aguda and Sukkah writes, Kishem Mesachkim HaBachurim B'Shabbos, Umagin says, these young kids used to play on Shabbos and used to hit each other with, I don't know, clubs or whatever it was. So their mom is butter, as long as, the Aguda says, as long as they don't have kavana to harm each other. If they have kavana to harm each other, then they're going to be chayav. But if I do bodily damage without kavana to harm, so the Aguda says, then you're going to be punter from it. Now, what is this all based on? What are all these back and forths about damaging and not paying? What is this based on? So there's a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah says that when Klal Yisrael used to come to the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkot, on the last day of Sukkot, the Gemara says they used to take the esrogim and chuck them and pelt them at the people. The Mishnah says they used to snatch away the esrogim of the little kids and throw them. So Rashi says they would snatch the esrogim, and there's no violation of gezel, and there's no violation of darkei shalom. Right, the Mishnah isn't getting about darkei shalom to do things, even if they're not technically usher, but to do things that promote peace. None of those things are problematic. Why? Rashi says shalakach nagu machma simcha. That's what people do. People do for simcha purposes. People steal the kids' esrogim. That's what they used to do. Again, this is, one second. We're in the context of a Simcha Shal Mitzvah, Purim, Sukkis, right, Simchas Chasim Akala, within a certain framework. It's not just, anytime I'm happy, I can go do whatever I want. Right? This is clearly within a certain framework. Tosfos, based on this Gemara, writes that there was a practice that people used to do at weddings where they would have essentially gladiator fights. They would ride on horses with some sort of a form of a sword. They would fight with each other, and inevitably one person would tear the shirt of the other person. He would tear the other guy's shirt. It would have some kind of jousting situation going on, and he was punted for paying. Why? Because there was an understanding going in that you were doing this out of Simchas Chasam Akala. That's not even so clear that would be okay. But yeah, okay. So that is what he writes. If you look at guys, page 97, the Ramah in Choshen Mishpah, which is what the Ramah himself alluded to back in Hilchos Purim, he quotes this Tosfos verbatim, that when the kids at a wedding are riding on a horse and they're jousting and whatever, doing anything for Simcha, then they're going to be putter. But the Ramah does write that if Bez Din sees fit to draw some sort of a line and say, this is too much, and what you're doing is too crazy, then they have the right to do that. Now, the Leiv Chayim, in page 97, the Leiv Chayim was asked the following Shiloh. It was Simchas Torah during Hakafos. Everyone was dancing. Everyone was going crazy. What happened? Because one guy was dancing a little too hard, he accidentally tore the shirt or the suit or whatever of the guy in front of him. He bumped into him in a way that he ended up tearing his clothing. The question is he chayav to pay for him or not? That's the kasha. So Leiv Chayim
cites all the Makoros that we just went through, and he says, but why? He's out of Simcha. Simcha Shal Mitzvah. Like dancing with the Torah. Simcha's Torah. He says, he's Kaka Pater. He's Pater for paying for the damage that he inflicted. The Darkei Moshe in the Ramah, in Perush of the Torah, discusses this minhag we quoted before of cross-dressing on Purim. Cross-dressing is an Isser D'oraisa. So the Ramah quotes that Meikra Din, it's Mutter, to cross-dress on Purim. And if people do it, don't protest. But he quotes from many Acharonim that they weren't happy about this minhag. Because you're playing with fire. You're trying to you're violating an Isser D'oraisa. So he quotes from many, many Acharonim that they wanted to do away with this minhag. But he says that if people do it, you can't protest because there's a basis for this minhag. It's not made up out of thin air. But he says, the Ramah says, Tovu Achmir, and he ends off by saying, V'lavod es Hashem b'simcha v'lios gila b'ra'adah. Meaning, serve Hashem with simcha, yes, but also be a little bit cautious. You know, serve Him with a little bit of trepidation also. And if you're dealing with the Surei D'oraisa here, don't just start saying everything is mutter. Take it, you know, take a step back. On top page 98, we have the Rebbe Vos Ephraim. The Rebbe Vos Ephraim was Rebbe Ephraim Greenblatt, one of the primary Talmidim of Moshe Feinstein. He lived in Memphis for many years, then he moved to Harnos. And he used to be a second grade Rebbe. He'd teach little kids. And the shayla that he got from one of his little second graders was, is it mutter to pour chocolate milk on my friend's head on Purim, assuming that the other guy, the other friend, is mocha? Meaning, the kasha was not that damaging question. The question was, is there an isser of Baal Tashlis? In other words, the assumption was, of course, if the other guy's not mocha, you can't do it. The assumption was he was mocha. The question was, is there now going to be an isser of Baal Tashlis by pouring the chocolate milk on the other kid's head? So the Rebbe Vos Ephraim writes, the Me'ikar Adin, it's mutter. But he says that a Baal Nefesh should really be Machmir. The Truma Sadeshen, anyone know what was unique about the Truma Sadeshen?
Yeah, he's named after a garbage truck.
No. The Truma Sadeshen made up...
Oh, wait, is that another thing?
The Truma...
What's the thing in Tzav where, like, the...
No, it is.
Okay, right.
The Truma Sadeshen, guys, the Truma Sadeshen made up his own shilohs. All the shilohs of the Sadeshen are not real. They're all made up, but they're the best shilohs because Arav made them up on his own. So one of the made-up shilohs that the Truma Sadeshen asks is the following. Similar to the Leif Chaim about Simchas Torah, except here we're dealing with Hoshinas on Sukkot. So similar shilohs. So you have Reuven and Shimon were apparently the worst of enemies. Reuven had a thing against Shimon. He really didn't like Shimon. And he said, and during Hoshinas one time, Reuven dislocated Shimon's shoulder. He was going through Hoshinas and there was a little bit of a scuffle, whatever it was, and he dislocated his shoulder. The shilo was, is he chayav to pay? So the question, he chayav to pay for his medical bills. So the question was like this. On the one hand, in other words, there was, and also he says there was an Eid Echad who testified that Reuven was planning to do this. It was premeditated. It wasn't just stopped. So the question was like this. First of all, it was only an Eid Echad, so they didn't necessarily have the capability to believe in Eid Echad, you know, in terms of being motzi mamon and halakha. But the question was as follows. Here, there's a good reason to believe that Reuven was doing this intentionally. We already know from previous history that Reuven had a thing against Shimon. We know that already. It's documented. But it's hard to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt with conclusive evidence that he's literally chai because this is premeditated. It's hard to say that 100%. So he ends up concluding that Be'ikra Din, he's pater, but to be Yemotzi Yidei Shamayim, he really should pay the value of his medical bills. That's the right thing to do. Two more points about this. Guys, are we...
Yeah. It depends what he knew.
Okay, I'm saying...
If the guy knew he was doing it intentionally, then yeah, he has to pay.
Okay, correct.
You know,
correct,
say,
correct.
If the guy
correct.
Knows he's not guilty, then no, he does not.
Correct, correct. Two last points, guys, on this sugya. We have on page 99, the Yam Shel Shlomo, the Marashal in Baba Kama. The Yam Shel Shlomo Baba Kama is discussing a person who is drunk, but he is drunk to the point even more so than Shichrus or Shalom, which we pointed out yesterday, right? A person who's so drunk to the point he can't even tell he's having a relationship with his own daughter, right? The story of Lot and Parshas Vayera. So the Yam Shel Shlomo says that a person who is as drunk to the level of Lot is still chayav for every damage that he inflicts. Now the question is, I don't understand. The din is, the Gemara says in Erevin, as he quotes, that a person who's a shikor like Lot is putter from Mises Bezdin, he's not chayav Malkus, he's putter from everything. How on earth can I turn around and say that a guy who's drunk to the point of Lot is chayav if the Gemara in Erevin shape the Farish that he's putter?
Putter for things that...
Meaning the Gemara... Guys, listen up.
No,
the Gemara in Erevin says explicitly that a person who is as drunk as Lot is putter from everything. If he kills, he's putter. If he damages, he's putter. If he does anything, he's putter.
Why?
So, because he doesn't have das.
Nobody damaged.
It doesn't... Well, okay.
It's negligent to get that way.
Oh, excellent. Says
I'm confused.
Says the Avshar Shlomo, you know why a guy who's at the level of Shechus or Shalot is Chayev? Because he put himself in that situation in the first place. He got himself to the point where he was that drunk. In other words, a guy who's objectively Shechus or Shalot is punter from anything that he does. But the fact that he got there in the first place, in other words, let's say theoretically, I took an IV and I hooked it up to a guy and I just doused him with alcohol and I made him drunk. So it wasn't really his fault. So then in a haram, he'd be punter from anything that he did. But he got himself to the point of being that drunk in the first place. Of course he's going to be chayav. Of course that's going to be the din. That's the answer Shlomo writes.
And
the,
he's not chayav misa.
Well, maybe he's not chayav misa. Correct. And the last nekuda, guys, the last point of the sugya, the Beis Yosef writes that, again, discussing the mitzvah of Simcha on Purim, and he writes that he's discussing this idea of stealing on Purim and a Simchas Chasa V'Kala, and all these different things, and he writes at the end that he thinks that that's only for them. That's only Tazmara and Gemara, that those things were mutter, because there he says that was the minhag of what the Bachrim used to do. But he says today, there's no chiluk between Purim and other days of the year. Today, everything's the same. In other words, if I damage on Purim, I'm equally chayav as much as I damage today. Okay, that is what the basis. So let's just quickly chazer what we saw in the sugya. Okay, there are three main parts to the sugya. The first part of the sugya we dealt with was the question itself of drinking on Purim. Is it mutter? Is it not? Is the story a rejection of the Gemara? Maybe it's not a rejection. The Chasam Sofer is interesting chiddush about people born on the planet Mars and about drinking, right? That whole crazy chiddush we have from the Chasam Sofer. Point that over there. Then we said, again, we had the machlokes, right? How to understand that. Then we had the machshava aspect about what exactly Ad Lo Yoda represents, about transcending what this world is and about seeing beyond the pale of this world. And this last point we brought up in the sugya here is in terms of damaging a Purim, committing surim a Purim, what is the criteria, what are the cutoff point for that? Is it mutter? Is it not? In what context is it mutter? By Simchas Chasa V'Kala, by Purim, by Sukkot? There's all sorts of different applications to that. So that is the basic gist of the sugya.